Amen. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. I want to preach a message to you today that I've entitled The Five Gifts of Christmas. Five Gifts of Christmas. Christmas was a big deal in my family growing up. It was bigger than our birthday. We got more gifts on Christmas than we did on a birthday or any other time of year. My parents went all out. They kind of spoiled us on Christmas. If they spoiled us any day of the year, it was on Christmas Day. And one Christmas, my brother was sitting amidst all of his toys. I think he had a bicycle, and he was just sitting in a sea of toys. And when he opened the last toy, he uttered a statement that he will never forget. He's now 46 years old, and none of us will ever let him forget it. After he opened his last present, he said, "Is this all I got?" And he didn't mean, you know, that it wasn't much. He really meant, was that the last gift? But it sounded like he was ungrateful. And I want you to know today that the gifts that God has given you at Christmas are so overwhelming that you will never have to ask, "Is this all I got?" They are so wonderful, and we see them in verse 4 through verse 7 of Galatians. There's five gifts that God has given you, and they're all tied up in His Son in verse 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Father, in Jesus' name, help us to see clearly today what You've given us. If there are any here that have not yet received the gifts that You've given, I pray, Father, that they would receive Your Son and all the blessings that come with Him this morning. Pray that You'd draw them by Your Holy Spirit. And then, God, I pray that You'd give us a spirit of gratitude, those of us who have received what You've given and are living in Your blessing. I pray, God, that You would create in us a spirit of gratitude and rejoicing in You. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake and glory. Amen. God has given us five gifts, the five gifts of Christmas, and the first gift that He's given us is the gift of His Son. He's given us His Son. But when the fullness of time had come, at just the right time, God sent forth His Son. That word "sent forth" is very close to our word "apostle." He sent His Son forth on a mission. I've said before, as we've studied the Gospel of John on Sunday night, that could be said of no other person that's ever lived. There's never been another person on earth that it could be said about their birth that God sent them forth. We don't believe in the preexistence of the human spirit, but we do believe and know that Jesus Christ preexisted as the eternal Word of God. And God sent Him forth on a mission when He was born that day in the stable in Bethlehem. He was on a mission from God to redeem, to save the world. Jesus is God's gift to us, God's gift to you, the Bible says. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God wants you to put your name there on that gift. Unto you, whatever your name is, God gave His Son to you. He gave His Son not just to live as a man, but He gave His Son to die for you. Greater love has no man than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. The eternal God became man and laid down His life. The Bible says it pleased Him, it pleased God to crush His Son. Why did He give His Son to die? He gave His Son to die for you. God loves you. The Bible said, "He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up, gave Him up for us all." how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? If God would give us His Son, what will He withhold from us as His children? So the first gift that God has given you today is the gift of His Son. God gave Jesus Christ to you. Why? Because He loves you. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. How much did God love the world? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved you that He gave you His Son, Jesus Christ, in the manger. What a Christmas gift. The gift of His Son. Then the Bible says that with His Son, there's another gift that God has for you today on Christmas, and that's the gift of redemption. The gift of redemption, a churchy sounding word, but I'll explain it to you. The Bible says that in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, verse 5, those who are under the law. To redeem those who are under the law. What does that word redeem mean? Well, it's a word they would understand in the day that this was written. It's a slave term. If a slave was redeemed, it meant that someone would go to the slave market where slaves were being sold, and they would buy that slave, not for the purpose of working that slave on their own farm or plantation, but they would buy that slave for the benevolent purpose of setting that slave free and giving him his freedom. And so they'd pay a great price, and then they'd set him free. They'd say, you're free. And the Bible says Jesus Christ came to this earth. God gave Jesus so that we might be redeemed. That means God gave Jesus so that we might be set free. Set free from what? He says, to redeem those who are under the law. What's the law of God? The law of God are the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. The Bible says that there's two kinds of existence. There are those who live under the law, and there are those who have been redeemed from the law. To live under the law in the book of Galatians means that you're trying to perform to be good enough to be accepted by God. Being under the law speaks of a performance-based acceptance. Sometimes we live like that, even Christians sometimes. We feel like if we've had a good day and we've said our prayers, we've had our devotions, and we've been kind to our neighbors and to strangers, that God is smiling on us and God loves us. And then those days that we get hurried and we forget to have our devotions, and maybe we're not that kind to the people on the highway, those strangers, or even our friends or family. We think sometimes maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God is not smiling on me. Sometimes we live by a performance-based acceptance. Sometimes we were taught that by people who were supposed to love us. We were taught that when we were a good boy or a good girl, then mom and dad loved us. But if we were bad, then we weren't worthy of our parents' love. There are many of us that live like that, and we transfer that to God, and we think somehow that's the way God is. Well, that's what was happening to the Galatians. They believed in Christ, but then they began to believe that maybe they had to perform and keep some of the law and be good enough to truly be accepted by God. And God describes that kind of existence as a kind of bondage. It's a bondage to the law. Performing, trying to be good enough. Why is that bondage? Well, number one, the Bible tells us it's bondage because none of us can keep the law. None of us have in our nature the ability to keep the law of God. You say, well, I've never killed anybody. Well, Jesus says that God doesn't just look at your outward acts. God looks at your heart. And He says, if you've ever been angry with your brother without just cause, you're guilty of murder. Because it's that anger that actually gives birth to the act of murder. You see, God's a perfectionist and He demands perfection. And so those who are trying to live by this performance-based acceptance are always frustrated because they can never really truly keep the demands of God that are made in the law. It's a kind of bondage. And then the Bible says it's a kind of bondage because with the law comes a curse. When we break the law, we come under the curse of the law. In the book of Deuteronomy, when the law was restated, God said, if you keep the law, you'll be blessed. But if you don't keep the law perfectly, you'll be cursed. And so we're in bondage if we're living under the law. If you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ and been redeemed and received the gift of Christmas, the gift of redemption, then you're under the law and you're under the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law is death. The wages or the payment for sin is death. That means if you're not perfect, if you're here today and you think, well, I'm a benevolent person, I've done a lot of kind things for people, God says if you're not perfect, if you've ever sinned, I'm going to judge that sin. You abide under the curse of the law. But the Bible says Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. God gives us the gift of redemption. He sets us free from the law. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's God speaking. He's quoting the Old Testament there. And he says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. In other words, he's saying you can't be made righteous by trying to keep the law or live up to a moral standard. And then he goes on and he says, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus was born to die on the cross, to redeem us, to set us free, to liberate us from the demands of the law and the curse of the law. What a wonderful gift God has given us. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, here's how God took us out from under the bondage of the law. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, that's the law, the demands of the law upon us, that was against us. And he goes on and he says, which was contrary to us. In other words, we couldn't keep it, and because we couldn't keep it, we're under a curse. And here's what Jesus did. And he has taken it out of the way. How? Having nailed it to the cross. The law with all of its demands and the law with its curse was nailed on the cross with Jesus Christ, redeeming us from the law, setting us free. Are you set free today? Have you received God's wonderful gift of redemption? That's the second gift of Christmas. Now, the third gift of Christmas is the gift of adoption. God didn't just set us free. A lot of people are afraid of the gospel because they say, wait a minute. If you take people out from under the law, then they're just going to live like the devil. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people in church that's actually the way they live. They get taken out from under the law and they say, hey, I'm going to heaven. I can do anything I want to do. And they live like the devil. Well, I'll say those folks don't understand the gospel. Because he didn't just redeem us and set us free from slavery, but he bought us out of slavery. And the Bible says he's made us sons and daughters of God. We're no longer slaves, but now we're God's children. He's adopted us. That's the third gift of Christmas. The gift of sonship. The gift of adoption. Why did Jesus come? To redeem you so that you might be adopted and made a member of the family of God. The Bible says he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I was thinking about Madonna. Y'all know who she is. I won't sing any of her songs. I can't. I can't sing, and I couldn't repeat them in the church, probably. You remember what she did? She went to a village in Africa, and she adopted a little boy out of poverty there in Africa. He was probably better off there in Africa than with Madonna. But we see that as an act of kindness. an act of benevolence. Imagine God condescending to come down to this earth and to adopt us, who the Bible says are by our very natures children of wrath. We're not naturally born into the family of God. We're actually enemies of God by wicked works, the Bible says. But God came, sent His only Son because He loves us, redeemed us through the cross of Jesus Christ, and has made us sons and daughters of God. The Bible says, "Oh, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God." You say, "Well, I don't feel like a child of God. I don't look like a child of God right now. Sometimes I don't act like a child of God right now." And the Bible says, "Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we shall see Him, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You may not look, even in your character right now, too much like a child of God, but one day He'll bring you to perfection. And all the world will see you for who you really are. What a wonderful gift. God has bought us as slaves, and He's made us His children. That's the third gift of Christmas. The fourth gift of Christmas. Y'all are getting excited. You're saying, "Hey, we're about to get to leave now." Because I said there's five gifts of Christmas. The fourth gift of Christmas. What is it? The Bible says in verse 6, "And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" The fourth gift of Christmas is the gift of God's Holy Spirit. So He doesn't just adopt us and make us His children and say, "Hey, do your best. You're my child." No, He sends His Spirit to dwell within us. "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We can't earn anything with God. Everything that we receive from God, we have to receive as a gift. Even the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He sent forth. The same exact Greek word that's used to describe Him sending forth His Son on a mission is the same word He uses to describe Him sending forth the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. The Holy Spirit of God is God Himself. Charles Spurgeon said, "I don't know what the greater miracle is, the incarnation, God sending His Son into the world, or God condescending to send His Holy Spirit to live in sinful people. Both of them are miracles." You see, Christianity isn't a religion. It's a miracle. God sends His Spirit to live within us. "What? Know ye not that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." God sends His Holy Spirit to live within us. The Bible says He lives in our heart. We think of the heart, we think of our emotions and our will, even our mind. The Holy Spirit dwells there. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is crying out within us, "Abba, Father." Abba, Father. The word "Abba" is the Jewish word for daddy. It's something that a little baby says when it can't quite form words. Abba. Abba. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is within us, always crying out within us, present tense. Always crying out within us, "Abba, Father." He speaks there of an intimacy that the Holy Spirit produces within our heart. An intimacy with the living God. God is no longer a remote and distant God. God is no longer a slave master that keeps us in bondage to rules and regulation and laws. But now within our heart we know and experience God as our daddy, as our father. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's only one time in the Bible that we see Jesus saying, "Abba, Father." Do you know when that is? When He's in the garden. And He's looking into the cup, the Bible says. He looks into the bitter cup becoming sin. And he falls down, the Bible says, he falls down and he cries out and he says, Abba, Father. Jesus falls down under the weight of the burden that he's about to take upon himself. And he cries out, Daddy, Father. And he says, if there's any other way, let it be. If there's any other way to redeem mankind, let it be. And he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The Holy Spirit cries in the heart of the believer to God in trial. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is crying out within us for purity. When he sees and knows the sin that's within us and the sin that's without us, the Holy Spirit cries out to God constantly for help. My question to you today is the Holy Spirit within you crying out, Daddy, Father? Is God to you an intimate heavenly Father? Is God to you a cruel slave master waiting to meet you on the day of judgment and hold you accountable for the way that you lived your life? The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't know about you, but I want to stand before Abba, Father, at the judgment, not the judge. I want to stand before Abba, Father. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. God condescends to send His Spirit to live in the hearts of His people. And then the fifth gift of Christmas is the gift of inheritance. The gift of inheritance. The Bible says, because you're His sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Daddy, Father. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. How do you know inside that you're no longer a slave, now you're a son? Because in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is crying out, Abba, Father. You know something of an intimate relationship with God as Father. That's how you have the assurance of knowing that you're no longer a slave, but now you're a son. And he says, and if you're a son, if you have that assurance, he says, here's what you can look forward to. He says, then you're an heir of God through Christ. You're an heir of God. That means you have a rich father. I've always wondered what it would be like. My dad made a pretty good living. He did good. But I wondered what it would be like if your dad was a multimillionaire. You'd never have to worry about anything, would you? As long as your dad liked you. Amen? I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about retirement. You wouldn't have to worry about the future. Because you're an heir of a very wealthy man. You know what the Bible says? You know what this text says? This text says is if you've received Jesus as your Savior, He's given you the gift of redemption. He's made you His son. The Holy Spirit bears witness in your heart that you are His child, crying out, Abba, Father, within you. Then you have a rich daddy. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns this earth. He owns this universe. He owns the new heavens and the new earth. And everything that's His is yours. That means your future is secure. That means when you die, you go to heaven. That means you inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot what? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. But if you receive the gift of Christmas, the gift of His Son, you've received the inheritance that rightfully belongs to you because you're a son or a daughter of the living God. And I can't even describe all of what that inheritance is. I just know that the Bible says it's incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for those of you who have been born again and are kept by the power of God unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. Are you a son and a daughter of the living God? Is your inheritance sure? Is your retirement sure because you're an heir of Almighty God? Well, it can be if you'll receive what God has offered you at Christmas. If you'll receive the gift of Jesus Christ. You see, a gift is not something that you earn. A gift is something that you have to just simply be willing to receive. You could never earn it. You can't earn an inheritance. You just are given an inheritance by virtue of who you are. And God will give you the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven by virtue of who you are. A child of God. It's a gift. The five gifts of Christmas. The gift of His Son. When you get the Son, you get the gift of redemption. Redeemed from slavery. When you get the gift of redemption, you get the gift of sonship. He makes you a son and a daughter. When you get the gift of sonship, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, you're assured that you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Have you received the gift of Christmas? I pray that you have. I pray that you will. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will now clear our minds of all the things that would distract us, the satanic presence that is always about us, trying to snatch the seed of the gospel out of the hearts of those who truly need to be redeemed. Father, spirits of pride that are within us, pride sometimes based upon what we think we know, what we think we've experienced, Lord, and all of us are susceptible to that. I know, God, that Satan uses many things to try to keep your purpose from being carried out in the lives of the people that you love. And so, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be victorious today. And I pray that you'll touch the heart and the life of some individual here today. And they'll receive the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, receiving Him will receive everything. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.